God's good. Amen. I am in Mark chapter number 14, and I guess I need to turn there myself. Mark chapter number 14, and we are going to begin at verse number 3. And being in Bethany, the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for her, for a memorial of her. Praise God. Amen. There's a prime example why I need to bring my glasses. Typically, I have my text printed out in a font that I can read. For some reason, I didn't do that. So, anyways, struggling to read it. Anyways, praise God. Any brother need your iPad in big font? Yeah. Yeah, I have Brother Greg put it up on the wall and enlarge it. You have to make it large because I can't see back there either. As I could turn around like this. Yeah, amen, praise God. I want to talk to you today. Amen, this subject. If Jesus can't reach you, and if Jesus can't reach them, then who can? Amen, who can? Praise God. Let's ask the Lord to help us here today. God, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your help, for your spirit, for your word today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen and amen. And God bless you, and you may be seated. Praise God. There, I have preached several different messages from many different angles out of this setting. It's not a parable. It happened. And Jesus did say that what this woman had done with her alabaster box would be spoken of throughout the whole world, and that what she hath done shall be spoken of as a memorial for her. And so we have, and here we are in 2022, getting ready to go into 2023, and we're still speaking of what she did back then. We're speaking of it in and unto the whole world. I know these are the famous last words, a few of them. I don't feel long-winded this morning. Number two, I don't feel highly intense or energetic. I feel like talking to us today, and I feel like God wants to help us here this morning. I don't know exactly who that he is. I believe he's reaching for everybody, and I think I can prove that here today in our lesson. But I feel like there's some very specific things that God is wanting to help us with here today. I was a little bit astounded this week, a little bit surprised. Some things that I heard this week, and it caused me to look into some things and to dig into some things and such. And but I heard it said of a Pentecostal preacher that he does not believe that it's God's plans our God's plan to save everybody. And I was smitten, stricken by that statement. And I cannot for the life of me understand that statement. And of course, I went back to my Bible and began to peruse through it, began to do some studying concerning the reason that I heard that was put behind it. And honestly, the reason that is put behind it is based very, very high on Calvinism. And we're not Calvinist. We're not Calvinist. And to espouse and to say that it's not God's plans to save everybody, for the Bible speaks and states that many are called, but few are chosen, and that it's not God's plan to save everybody. Number one, it's totally out of context. That scripture in that wise is taken totally, totally out of context. And so as I began to look into that and began to ponder some things there, of course, my mind goes to the scripture in 2 Peter chapter number 3 that states and says that it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all, that includes everybody, all should come unto repentance. And to state that it's not God's plan to save everybody is to espouse a doctrine or a form of the doctrine of predestination. And we do not believe in predestination. The only thing that is predestined is the church. The church is going to come out of all of this. The church is going to be good. It's just up to you and I to get in the church. And getting in the church, we can get out of the church as well. And we don't have time to get into that. I don't want to get into that. But as I began to read and began to just go through my Bible, I saw this and I looked at this, and several things that popped out to my attention. Number one was the fact that Jesus said that wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of her for a memorial for her. So it's going to be preached unto everybody. Everybody's going to know. I would very seriously doubt if you go to anybody that's at any time in church whatsoever at all, if you ask them about Mary and the alabaster box, they're going to know exactly what you're talking about. I believe it was C.C. Winans that made the song very popular, the alabaster box. And my alabaster box, and it is necessary. So, anyways, in that I see three different types of people that are represented in this scripture, in this text here today. Three different types of people represented. Three different types of people that Jesus is going to reach for during this little trip to Simon's house. Uses a simple little object lesson to reach them. And John tells us that happens 6 days before Passover. And so we can take a look at this, and we'll divide these down. But the different types of people that are represented here, number one, we do have Simon the leper. Number two, we do have Judas Iscariot. And then number three, we have the remainder of the apostles. And the lesson here that is taught is the value of the broken things. And Jesus was trying to teach them a lesson from this woman by the name of Mary about the value of being broken, of being broken. And each and every one of them, according to different settings, Matthew records it, Luke records it, Mark records it, John records it. And when you go through them, you're going to see a little bit of a different turn on it, but the story is the same. But it's just that one emphasizes one saying something and another emphasizes another saying something. And so we can come to the conclusion that everybody had a say-so, that what happened in Simon's house was actually probably more than likely extremely vocal. that when finally somebody piped up, that others joined in and offered their opinion in it as well. And in doing this, we understand that they missed their opportunity to have the Lord touch them and to forgive them. And in doing so, they were blinded. They were messed up. They were blinded. They did not see the purpose of what God manifest in the flesh was doing in this situation. But what I'm talking about here today is in reality, it is a disease. It is a disease. There is actually a medical terms for it, but it is a disease that is sweeping across the world today. And just bear with me here this morning as I just open up my heart to you here today. I'm just going to talk to you about what I see and how that it is affecting the world in general. Amen. I really wish that there was a house full of sinners here and I could preach totally different. I have no intentions of preaching this way, but I just feel it. I just feel it. And so there is a disease. Now please hear me out, because it's don't draw a conclusion too quickly. But there is a disease that is being fed by a certain environment in our midst. And it is taking the world by storm. And Paul warned us of this when Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said that in the last days perilous times shall come. Perilous times shall come. He called them perilous times. Now, understand that when Paul wrote that, he was writing from a jail cell. And also know that his days were already numbered. As a matter of fact, he would continue to write. I believe that's in chapter number 3, and in chapter number 4, he writes and he says, I have fought the good fight of faith. He said, I finished my course. I have kept the faith. I have fought the fight. And he said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. His death sentence was already signed. His time of departure was at hand. And Paul looks into the future and he points and he said, perilous times are coming. Not that they're here right now. And Paul, you're sitting in a jail cell. How much more perilous is it going to get? And Paul said, no, perilous times are coming. Perilous times are coming. And Nero was doing everything that he could. Very, very quickly is going to turn the world upside down with his persecution and his punishments and all of the things that he is handing down and out. And Jerusalem is going to be burnt with the torches. And people are going to be martyred and killed and fed to the lions and on and on. And Paul is looking at these things, and he said perilous times are going to come. And he is not speaking concerning the things that was going on in the world, but rather the things that was going to go on in the church, because he said that men shall become unholy. And there's never a time that the world was holy. And the only thing that has ever been holy is God himself, and then the church that he has redeemed and purchased with his blood. And so he said, perilous times are going to come. And he said, men are going to become unholy. But before all of that, he said, men shall be lovers of them own, their own selves. And he said that they shall be proud. They shall be proud. And that is the generation that we live in today. That is the generation that we live in today. We live in an extremely proud era, and not just in an extremely proud era, but going hand in hand with this is that men are lovers of themselves. They are egotistical. They are full of pride. They are arrogant. They are very haughty. And when you take a look at this, you will see all of the works of the flesh being manifested in these individuals. And let me just state here carefully. And again, hear me out. But let me just state here carefully that this is being funneled and energized, promoted, pushed, published through the venue of social media. Amen. Through the venue of social media. And you have people that feel much more important than they really are because of social media. They have gotten themselves a following, and they have 600, 1,000, 2,000, 5,000, 10,000 people following them. And they have their own little circle of influence, and they are putting out advice to people. First of all, they probably don't keep themselves. Second of all, that they probably don't have any authority to put out anyways. And so you have these issues, and people, that there is a disease. It has been named this. It is megalomania disease, in that people feel more important than they really are, and they promote themselves and put themselves on a pedestal, and they thrive off of everybody saying, "That's good. Oh, that's powerful. That's wonderful." They thrive on that. You will see where they have, it's all about themselves. It's all about themselves. And I wished I could, I'll think of it here in just a moment. I know the word starts with a D. Say it louder. Well, it is disassociation, but there's another word. It's I'm going to say it all wrong. Dipamine or something like that. I'll get the word for you. But what's that? Dopamine. It is dopamine. What was the second word that they put on that? It is the dopamine effect. The dopamine effect. And people become intoxicated with themselves. Intoxicated by themselves. And when they have problems, nobody else has problems. They don't see anybody else's problems. When everything is going great, they don't see anybody else's problems. They don't see anything else good that's going on either. They are completely influenced and intoxicated by themselves. And that's what we see in this setting of Scripture here this morning. We have three represented people here that needed Jesus Christ to reach down and touch them. You got to understand something, that in this setting of Scripture, and don't let me get ahead of myself here, but in this setting of Scripture, there is time-sensitive, critical, essential substance and happening that is going on at that very moment. And so, first of all, let's talk about Simon the leper. And so here is a man that the Bible calls that he is Simon the leper. Not Simon who used to be a leper. Simon was a leper. Simon the cured leper. But Simon the leper. And here he is sitting in Bethlehem. Now Jerusalem has rules that any city that has a wall around it, that lepers cannot be within those walls. But here is Simon at his house in Bethlehem. And that is perfectly legal because Bethlehem does not have walls around it. And so here is Simon, and he is sitting in his house, and he is a leper. And somehow or another, he has gotten Jesus to come to his house. And not just Jesus to come to his house, but the disciples to come to his house as well. More than likely, he is an individual that is contagious. Chances are his house has some type of leprosy within it. It is a fretting leprosy, whatever that it would be. There is a purpose there. There is a purpose that Simon has invited Jesus to his house. I personally believe, and I can go through some of the scriptures can expound a little bit on them, but we find a man that is extremely proud, because this man, he is not even like Nicodemus, who will approach Jesus by night. This man is a man who is shut into the confines of his house, and when he hears that Jesus is going down the road like Bartimaeus, he's not going to reach out and he's not going to cry out. We don't find Simon the leper, a man, trying to push through the crowd to touch the hem of his garment. But we find Simon the leper somehow or another, whether it's by word, by letter, or by personal invitation, he has invited Jesus to come to his house. Leprosy is a type of sin. And so here we have the representation of the sinner, that is a sinner, that he is full of sin, that he is affected by sin, that he has the marks of sin more than likely upon him. And even if it were to be so, that he is healed of his leprosy, then chances are he's still missing some fingers and maybe a nose, and he has some other deformities in his life that leprosy has taken a part of. And maybe hearing of how that 10 lepers walk away from Jesus being healed, but one comes back and says, "Thank you." And the Lord tells him, he said, that he would be fully healed, made to be fully whole. That, in other words, everything that was gone associated due to leprosy came back. If he was missing fingers, fully healed, he got his fingers back. But here is a proud man that is not willing to see Jesus in a public venue or an area, and he invites Jesus to the confines of his house. Whether it's to be, there's a purpose that is there. We got to understand that there is a purpose that is there. We don't really know what the purpose is because it never takes place. But what we see here is that Jesus is invited to Simon's house, Simon the leper's house. And here, maybe it is that when he gets there that he's going to thank the Lord. Thank you for healing me, and maybe you can go ahead and heal me completely. Or once you get here, "Hey Jesus, you see I'm a leper, I got leprosy, and would you please heal me?" But there is a reason why that Simon is not meeting Jesus downtown in the public like everybody else is meeting him. We don't find Simon the leper up on the mountaintop or any other place going to Jesus in the streets like several of the other lepers that came. A leper came in Mark chapter number 1, and he said, "Lord," he said, "if you will, you can heal me." And Jesus said, "I will." 10 came unto him and said, "Lord, if you can heal us, please do." He said, "I will." 9 left, 1 came back. And so here we are. And we have a man by the name of Simon the leper. And in this, we see the type of sin manifested here. It is the manifestation of the type of the sinner. And sin ought not to be publicly applauded and such. We don't find lepers walking down through the streets of Bethlehem or anywhere else, amen, waving their hands and saying, "Look at me, I'm a beautiful leper, and I'm having so much fun in life." That's not the way that they are. Amen. If they are in the walled city, then they have a napkin over their lips and they are crying out, "Unclean, unclean," and everybody is getting away from them, and mamas are pulling kids away from them, and everybody else is going to the opposite side of the street because nobody wants leprosy. I wish that people would have that type of mentality in this day and age concerning sin. Amen. But it seems like the opposite is the true thing. Want to see how close we can get to sin without being affected by sin? How much we can look like sin? Amen. Yet without being in sin? Amen. Wanting to look more like the world? Amen. But trying to hold on without necessarily being in the world? Amen. Want to associate in fellowship with everybody in the world, amen, but not necessarily wanting to quit church as well. I wonder, amen, what this world would be like concerning sin if everybody had the same mentality concerning sin that everybody has with the coronavirus, amen, and how that everybody wants to take the precaution and say, "You know what, I'm sick, and so I'm going to stay home from church. I don't want anybody to have coronavirus. I don't want to maybe be positive and anybody to be affected by that." And we shut down cities and governments and the world because of coronavirus. I know it's bad, but I want to tell you that sin is much, much worse. And sin is much, much more contagious than coronavirus ever will be. But nobody wants to be sick with coronavirus. Everybody thinks of themselves, "I got coronavirus, there's a huge possibility that I'm going to die. I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to get through this." And I remember people calling me. One individual, they called me and they said, "Hey, I just want you to know I tested positive for the coronavirus, and I just need you to pray." We got to pray, and then they called me back a few days later and said, "You know what, I'm not doing good. I'm going to go to the hospital." And it was one of those times when nobody came out of the hospital alive. They came out in body bags and caskets, and just the stricken heart that is there. I just wondering what it would be like if the world had the same mentality concerning sin. Don't want to be around sin. Don't want to be affected, influenced, and caught up in sin. And this is Simon. This is Simon. But I want you to hear this today, that Simon got to thinking more about other things, and he didn't see the purpose that was there, and he missed it all. And so here is a woman. Now Simon was invited to Jesus was invited to Simon's house, and the disciples were invited to Simon's house, but Jesus invited somebody else. And so in walks this lady, this woman of the night. She does not have a good report. And she comes in, and she's a woman of ill repute. And she comes in, and she has an alabaster box. And she doesn't surprise the Lord being there, but she surprises everybody else. And so she comes in, and she shows the value of brokenness. And here she is with a stigma. Everybody knew this woman. Simon knew who she was. Disciples knew who she was. Judas Iscariot knew who she was. They all state that. Disciples, the Lord would have known what manner of woman this is. Judas, if Jesus would understand who this woman is. Simon, if the Lord would understand who this woman is, he wouldn't allow her to touch him. Everybody knew who this woman was. And Jesus has got them there for an object lesson. And Mary begins to break this alabaster box and begins to pour it out and begins to anoint the Lord. And everybody gets frustrated over it because it's beyond their agendas. It's beyond their understandings. And everybody begins to deem themselves more important than what is going on here. And the most important thing is why this woman is here. But here we see that Jesus begins to allow this woman to wash his feet and to dry his feet and pour out this alabaster box. And the sinner says to Jesus, he says, you know what, if this woman would have known what manner, if the Lord would have known what manner of woman this lady is, I just read it right here, Luke 7:39. Simon said to himself, this man, if he were really a prophet, he would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Hello, Judah. I mean, Simon, you're a leper. But all of a sudden, there's no focus on me. He loses sight that he's a leper. And he wants to point his fingers at somebody else. And Jesus cannot reach Simon. Because Simon's pointing his finger somewhere else. It's this woman, it's this woman, it's this woman. I just want to go very, very quickly here. Simon missed his opportunity for a miracle. Simon missed his opportunity. Now we see that there is Judas. Now Judas is going to represent the backslider, the backslidden in heart. And Judas simply states, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? And he's cold, he's indifferent, he's in church, but he's on his way out. Directly after this occasion, Judas walks out, he goes to the chief priest to betray the Lord. Now, he could have learned something right here, but he refused to learn it. He refused to learn it. And he got his eyes on something else than his problem. And he walks out, and the Bible says that when he walked out of that house, that he sought occasion to betray the Lord. And then we have the disciples. And the disciples, the Bible said in Matthew 26:8, but when the disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? And here's Peter. And Jesus begins to try to reach all three of these individuals. And he doesn't necessarily, he calls them in different situations. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he's talking to the different ones. And he tells Simon, he said, you know, Simon, he said, when I came in, you didn't give me any water to wash my feet. You didn't greet me with a kiss. He didn't do any of that. He said, this woman has not ceased to do these things. So he addressed Simon. He addressed Judas. He addressed Peter. Peter, the disciples represents those that are in the church. Can we just call them the, in the church, on fire for God, doing what they're supposed to be doing, following the Lord, disciples of Jesus, just doing what they're supposed to do. But I want you to know that everybody had a lesson to be learned. And everybody had the potential to be touched. And I just want you to know that in every service that we have, there is a purpose and a reason. And there is the potential for God to help you and to reach down and to do things in your life. But when you cannot see the purpose of the service, when you cannot see the reason for what is going on, you're going to miss it. And the way that we miss it is we start pointing at everybody else, at other things. We start putting blame in other places because it's never us. And I know I talked about how everybody is so drunken with their own selves and such. But when you start dealing with these issues, there's not one of them that will admit to it. When you start talking to somebody and say, you know what, you got a problem. I don't have a problem. And the only way that somebody begins to admit, you know what, I've got a problem, is they take the place of Mary with the alabaster box and they allow themselves to be broken. But until we are broken, then we're going to do our own thing, we're going to be our own person, we're going to go our own way, and all three of those individuals walked away from a last opportunity from being changed. What would have happened if Simon would have gotten up and pushed his chair back from the table and he would have said, Lord, not only her, but me. You're right. I was wrong. I should have offered to wash your feet. And so I want to do it now. If he would have humbled himself and broken himself, what could the story have been from that point forward? If Judas would have backed away from the table and gotten down upon his knees and began to say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me for accusing her of wasting. You're worthy of everything. But you see, in Judas's mind, he was not all the he's not worthy of everything. He's only worthy of certain things, and we ought to do this, and we ought to take this and sell it and give to the poor. He missed it. And Judas walks out of there and he goes and betrays the Lord. And within just a couple of days, he's hanging from a tree. And Peter, looking with indignation, he says, why was all of this done? Why couldn't this have been stopped? And the Lord speaks to him and tells him and the rest of the disciples, look, there's a lesson for you to learn as well. And everything may be going great for you. And everything may be going perfectly fine for you. But if you don't keep a broken, a humble, and a contrite spirit, you're going to be just like the rest of everybody. Not I. No way. Not I. Jesus said, oh yeah, Peter, even you. Even you. And if I've got it correctly, within 24 hours, amen, within 24 to 48 hours, the cock begins to crow, and what happens? Peter's denying the Lord. He that thought he was doing so great, he that just ran the aisles on Sunday night, had been in an hour prayer meeting, and all the he that had just done these things, amen, that thinketh he stands, needs to take heed lest he also falls. We are all susceptible to it. Every one of us are susceptible to it. And I want you to know that I came into this church yesterday evening, and as I began to pray, this got all over my spirit. And as I began to think about those things that I mentioned at the first of the service, I thought to myself, how susceptible am I to doing the exact same thing? I can stand and boast and say, I would never do that. I would never go that far. I would never make the statement that God never planned to save everybody. Amen. I can adamantly declare that. Amen. But that's like Peter. I can walk out away from that and not considering myself. And I can be in the same boat. Amen. And be in a shipwreck somewhere down the road. I'm just here to state that if we can't take these things and allow Jesus to be able to reach us in our situations, then who can reach us? I'm telling you, if Jesus can't
can't reach you. I can't reach you. I don't care if I'm fulfilling the role of an evangelist, the role of a preacher, or the role of a prophet, or the role of a pastor. If Jesus can't reach you, then there's no way that I can reach you. But every day and every service, we're going to have to submit ourselves unto the Lord as a broken sacrifice and say, God, don't let me become hard-hearted. God, don't let me get to the place that I think that I know everything, and then I accuse you and say, why wasn't this done, or why wasn't that done? But let me have a humble spirit, let me have a broken spirit, and let me find a place of repentance, amen, and seeking after you carefully.
Let's stand this morning. Praise the Lord. And maybe doing more preaching to myself than anybody. But I really do not want to preach to others and myself be a castaway. I don't ever want to get to the place that I think I'm doing fine, I'm doing good, I'm okay. I want to consider myself. Let he that thinks he stands take heed, consider himself, lest he fall. I just think about it, really, really. What would it take? What would it take? For some people, it'd be a better paying job. If I got this better paying job, if I got this offer, I'd move to this area and I would do this, and I would prosper so much. What does it matter if a man gains the whole world, loses his own soul? I know a man today he's got a good job. He makes six-digit figures. Goes to a church not in this state. But he's been offered almost twice the salary in other states that he could go there. But he won't do it. He won't do it. Because there's not a church, a good church, in those vicinities. Salvation is the most important thing. Being saved is the most important. Elimelech took his family to Moab, and he lost his life. His sons lost their lives, and the only one that ever came back was Naomi. Some it'd just take a better paying job. Others, relationships. Young men, you can fall in love with the wrong woman. Relationship will take you right out of the church. You got to be sensitive to God talking to you. Since I began to pray, I just felt that smite upon my heart. So God, I don't want to be a castaway. And so I humble myself today, and I repent, and I say, God, whatever it is, whatever you ask, I'll be willing to do it. So I ask you the question here today, what is it? What is it that you won't let Jesus effectively touch you? What is it? Man came to Jesus and he said, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, sell everything that you have and give it unto the poor. Take up your cross and come follow me. He told him, he said, do the commandments. He said, I've done all of these from my youth up. And he said, go sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and come follow after me. I can't do that. He has hung on himself. hung on his ways, hung on his beliefs. And so I just simply ask you today, what is it that Jesus would not be able to reach you today? What is it? I can talk about fame and fortune, but you know, honestly, there's probably nobody in here that's going to wind up being famous. If Brother Tucker can't be famous, then I can't be famous. You know what I'm saying, though. You know what I'm saying. Fame is not something that really we have to worry about. Now, maybe some of you've got some invention that's going on in your head. You're going to turn the world, do something that Elon Musk can't do. I don't know. But what is it? What is it? I'm going to tell you, whatever that is, you need to pick that up in that box. And you need to come down to an altar. And you need to break it. That woman with an alabaster box, that was, they said, over a year's worth of wages. She took it. And she broke it. And so I'm just simply asking you, what is it? What is it? If I said the wrong thing, what is it? Something was offered. Something was, what is it? And you need to take that that's in that box, because you've got the defenses built around it. You need to take that that's in that box and come break it here this morning on an altar. Break it. Break it. It was not opened up and poured out with reserve. It was broken. Because when it was broken, there was no way it was going to get back. And that's what needs to happen. Break it. Break it. And tell God, I'm here. Whatever it is. Amen. So this altar is open here this morning. Would you come?